You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. So welcome to Next Gen Sunday. My name is Eli. I get the privilege and honor to be the youth director here and run wild and live life with the young people from year 6 to year 12. And I say we run wild because we do. And I think every time someone comes to me asking about how wild is Sun Life Youth, I say, we're pretty tame, but I'm probably the wild one. I'm probably the wild one here. The crazy one, the one that's imperfect, always misspelling something. We have a joke with the youth, I always misspell something on my preachers. On the board here. So if there is a misspelt word, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. But anyway, I appreciate it. I remember Pastor Ben actually asking me about preaching for Next Gen Sunday. And I asked him, what kind of vibe is Next Gen Sunday? Is it a hype vibe? Is it a tame vibe? Is there a mosh pit? Does Jordan do a crowd surf or something like that? And he actually said something wise to me. He said, just be you. And I said, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. That is dangerous, but here I am about to preach, but blame God. Blame God for who I am. So turn to your neighbour and actually say, God made me this way. God made me this way. Beautiful. So let me ask you a question. How would you define a purposeful life? How would you define a purposeful life? How would you define purpose in your life? If I actually met you outside the foyer today and actually asked you, how would you define a purposeful life? Are you living a purposeful life? What would your answer be? So I remember actually in my year 12 graduation, which was actually next door, I used to go to Arrowmore. There was a lot of songs sung, hymns, it's a school. But also there was a lot of awards, and I got the honour to actually win an award. But one thing I really remember and I always take home is that the speeches that the principal, the vice principal, the head boy, head girl actually were saying, and the specifically what the theme of those speeches were. And it was living a life of purpose and kind of riding the wave. And has anyone heard that? Ride the wave, ride it well. I was like, everyone says that to me. I was like, what does that mean? Ride the wave. But living a life of purpose, that was the kind of theme of the speeches. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you that God was actually prompting me while prepping this message to live a life of purpose. And so I was reminded also with a passage in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And we see here that Paul's saying in his writing is that whatever we do, how big, how small, how hard, maybe how easy it is through our work or anything, we do it all for the glory of God. And so our purpose is in everything that we do is to do it all for the glory of God. So I like to think, if this was my last preach, I'm not going to die, but if this was my last preach, I'd like to think, and I'd like the next gen to actually take away, is that to live a life of purpose grounded in the foundation of Christ. And my prayer is that the purpose be for the glory of God. And so as we know with commitment, we live with purpose. Living with purpose becomes impossible. And all the married people out there, if we're half committed to our wives or half committed to our husbands, do you think you would have a purposeful marriage? If you turn up to uni or a school class youth, half committed, do you think you will graduate as a student with purpose? And if we come here and serve and commit to following Jesus only if everything's gone well, do you think that we'll live a fruitful and purposeful Christian life? So it's kind of safe to say that commitment and purpose kind of go hand in hand. Is that right? Amen to that? Yeah, so I want to give you three things that God's been laying on my heart to share to you on how to actually live a purposeful life. And we're going to go through the Bible. And these are the three points. It's commit to God, commit to others, and commit to action. So we should pray, and then we'll get into it. Is that right? Yeah. All right, thank you, Father. We just thank you for today. We thank you for the graduations of Little Sparks, Flame Junior and Flame Senior, Father. We just thank you that we're able to come here today freely and worship you, Father. May this word be clear and may it stir our hearts to follow you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So if you've got your Bibles or notepads or whatever, or the app, come turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 34 to 38. And a bit of context here, we see the Pharisees actually asking Jesus a question, and a tricky question to trick Jesus. And Jesus actually answers with a simple yet difficult task. And this is what it says. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And we see here Jesus is telling the leaders that the number one commandment that we should do is to love God with everything that we got, with our minds, our soul, and our hearts. And when we do that, when we love God with everything, commit to God with everything, we actually are committing to God. Sorry. If we love him, we're committing to him. So all the married people here, I would like to say, all the girlfriend and boyfriends, when we commit, do you remember the saying, death do us part? Does anyone remember that? Yes, Ola knows. Well done, mate. But hey, it's a big commitment that we make when we're getting married. I remember when I was getting married and having pre-marriage counselling, one of the guys actually come up to me and said, do you know what you're getting into? And I was like, yes. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, yes. He's like, are you ready to do the dishes? I was like, no. Are you ready to fold the clothes, do the laundry? I was like, no. It's like, these are the commitments that you've got to make. And I don't know about you guys out there. You probably know that when you commit all in, whether doing the dishes, whether coming back from home, having a massive day at work or uni at school, and you just want to sit down on the couch, watch a movie by yourself, crack a beer, crack a Coke, whatever, and actually sit there by yourself. But as a commitment to our wives or our husband, maybe they want to ask you about your day and you just do it out of commitment because we understand the commitment that we've made to our spouse or one another. And here's a funny quote as I was pondering on this message and writing this, is many Christians say they are committed, but they are not involved. It's like the Japanese kamikaze who went on 30 suicide missions. He was committed, but not involved. Anyone like that kamikaze guy? That you're committed, but you're not 100% follow through with the commitment? Whether you come to church and you say, we split PM or AM, and I say, I'm going to come to PM service, but you don't come. Anyone like that? I'm like that. I would say, I'm not perfect. But we know if the kamikaze guy fully committed to his commitment, we know he would have made a massive effect in the world. And we know how that sounds. Boom. Boom. But hey, I wonder if we fully commit today to God, what big plans he would actually have for us. And so it says in Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So as we commit our minds, our soul, our hearts, our everything to God, he will establish our plans and he will actually guide us through life. So what are the things you might need to commit to God today? So I wonder, next gen, if a commitment that you might need to make is spending time and prioritizing God, whether it's through reading the word and not just reading and listening and sitting in the service like this, but actually applying it to your life and actually understanding where is the coma, context, observation, meaning, and then applying to your life. I wonder if it's actually spending time and having that quiet time at your house after work or whatever, actually having a conversation with God, praying, through prayer. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but next gen, I've heard, not these guys, but I've heard in my time of doing youth ministry that praying is hard or praying is scary. Actually, it's not. It's just having a conversation with God, whether it's, God, thank you for today. I commit today to you. Amen. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be articulated or anything. It just has to be a simple conversation with God. So let's commit to God today. Is that right? Amen. All right, my second point, commit to others. So a long time ago, back in the early church, people that actually believed in God actually lived in a way that community was priority. And we actually see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 onwards. And it says this: all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily who were being saved. So they shared possessions, they shared meals, they even shared their burdens with each other. And this commitment to one another was rooted in their faith in Christ. And it kind of reminds us that true commitment means valuing and caring for one another, making sacrifices for our well-being of our community. So let's actually be encouraged to demonstrate the same love and dedication to one another. And there's actually a couple of verses in the Bible that I want to mention. There's actually loads, but I'll mention three where this actually backs it up. So Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 6:2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it's called today. So we have to commit, as committed people of Christ, we have to commit to one another as well. And also it says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, that the one body of Christ has many parts with many members. And the members work together to form one body. So I remember going back to school days. I used to go to Aramore from year 9 to 12, and I remember this lady called George. And if you go to Aramore, this is the lady that everyone knows. She's like the mother of the school, where she doesn't teach or anything, but she looks after the welfare of the kids. And if you know me, and me back in the day, I was not a troubled kid, but a troublemaker. I used to be a mischief kid. I used to be the one that's probably up to everything and probably the mastermind of everything. And so I was the one chucking the pencils. If you know, back in the old days, they had the foam little roof things and you chuck the pencils and then you have the competition. If it stays there, you win. If it drops on your table, you don't win. Probably past next gen, that was probably the thing. But I was the one that's causing trouble all the time. And I remember this lady called George actually coming up to me every day and actually saying, Eli, what trouble are you going to make today? I was like, I don't know. I'll let you know afterwards. But she was committed. She was committed to me every single day to come up to me, no matter how I felt, whether I was angry or sad, what my emotions were going through. She would always come up to me and actually commit to me and actually say, how are you going, Eli? What trouble are you going to get up to today? Do you want to have a chat or whatever? No matter what, she'll always see me and she'll always commit to me. And she stayed committed. And I would be lying if I told you that she wasn't actually committed to me to this day. Every Tuesday, hot chocolates, we serve Aramore here in the morning, hot chocolates. And she comes in every morning and always encourages me and always tells me, hey, Eli, remember how you were so troubled back then? Look at you now. Look at you now. You're actually leading the next generation. And it was so cool to actually hear that the seed that she planted to me 10 years ago or even more, she's actually seeing the fruits of it now. Amen. Because she stayed committed. Amen. She stayed committed. So let's stay committed to one another. Here, and I've got a little image here. Imagine these two trees growing closely together. As their roots intertwine, they become stronger and more resilient against storms. And similar to our relationships, when we commit to one another, we create a supportive foundation. This helps us to show that commitment to one another through thick and thin nurtures growth, strengthens, and stability in our lives, in our community. And I want to show you a little illustration, if I may. You've probably seen it. Imagine this. This is just you looking good on the beach, needing a tan, all right? This is you just living life by yourself. You think you can live by yourself, praying to God, coming to church late, leaving early. Any people like that? I'm that person. But yeah, we just think we can live life by ourselves. But then when storm comes in, when we sin, when we fall back into sin, life just gets messy, right? And we just fail. And we got no one to lean on, no one to actually rely on or share our burdens or actually pray for us. But as we come together, we see this, all right? No matter how thin, there's Simon there, right? There's Pastor Ben, there's me. We're all together. We're in our CGs together. We're actually sharing our burdens, being accountable with each other, committing to each other. And no matter what storm comes, we can't break it, right? We can't break it, all right? So let's commit. Let's commit to other. So when things do come, we can withhold it with each other, and we can be accountable with each other, and we can rely on each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's commit to one another and carry each other's burdens and actually celebrate with each other. And my third point, commit to action. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock." So at this moment, Jesus is actually saying, don't be listeners of the word. And we can't be readers of the word. And we can't just come to Sunday, sit there and then leave and then go back into our worldly ways. We actually got to be doers of the word. We actually got to listen and actually apply it to our lives. Actually act about, put it into practice and commit to action. And as Christians, we can't just sit back and relax and allow the world to do its thing. We live in a corrupt world. We have to be doers of the word. We have to commit to action. So I wonder if the Holy Spirit may be prompting you now on committing action to something. And my question is that, will you act upon it? Will you act upon it? The call to action is right now. James 1:22 says this, "Do you merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves? Do what it says." Also, James 2:17 says this, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action," and here's the golden goose, "it's dead." It's dead. So faith and action go hand in hand. We actually have to put feet to our faith. We actually have to be doers of the word and not just listeners or readers of the word. We actually got to act upon what the word says. So I wonder today what your commitment to action might be. It might be a Sunday service. I know we've split to AM and PM, and you might have said PM or AM, whatever you want to do. And I'm glad that you committed today. This is the best day to commit, all right? Sunday. But maybe it might be committing every Sunday to come for corporate worship, to come together, rely on each other, praise God for what He's done. Maybe it might be that. Maybe young adults, it might be committing to the young adults events. Actually coming out of your bubble and actually understanding that your young adult family love you and want a burden. We want to carry your burdens and commit to you. Maybe it's coming to young adults events and prioritizing maybe young adults events over other events. Maybe youth, it might be committing to youth every Friday night, committing to coming, enjoying, committing to bringing people here on a Friday night, bringing your friends. Maybe committing to CGs. If you're not in a CG, I highly recommend being in a CG. It's one of our pillars of this church, is where we come together and live life upon life with each other. And we carry our burdens with each other. And maybe that next step is to become sign up to our CGs. And we do have volunteers on our info bar that actually can help you with that. And maybe it's actually getting someone to pray for you, praying with you through this tough season, intercess with you. And maybe you might have to just pull someone aside or come at the front when we have our prayer session to actually get someone to pray for you. And maybe it might be committing your life to Jesus or recommitting your life to Jesus. So I wonder today what you have to commit to action. So if this was my last message, I'd say I would love the next gen to walk away today with knowing that to live a life full of purpose is to commit to God, yep, commit to others, and commit to action. So it is a short and sharp message, but let's pray, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Ben up for the next bit, all right? Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you, Father. We thank you that, you just love us so much. Father, we just pray that as we live a life and explore a life of purpose, Father, that we're just, our hearts just stir up to commit to you, Father. And Father, that we can commit to others as well, commit to our friends, commit to our CGs, Father, commit to our Sunday service community. And Father, I just pray that we're just not sitting down and watching the world do its thing, but we are doers of the word, Father, and we commit to action. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we all say, amen. Thank you, guys. Pastor Ben.
Another round of applause. Thank you, Eli. Wonderful. I'm going to take this moment now just to pray for all our next gen leaders. But before I pray, can I just encourage all the leaders who are leading kids, youth, and young adults with the Word of God? And then I'm going to invite you to be upstanding. And I'm going to pray for you, but I'm also going to get the people surrounding you to pray for you as well. Here's the Word of God. This is when Luke records Paul's last visit to the leaders in Ephesus. If you know the context in Acts, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem and he knows that this is it. It's going to be house arrest. It's going to be execution. And he says, I want you to just find the city of Ephesus. And I want you to gather all the leaders there because I want to give them my last words of encouragement. And this is what the writer Luke, he records this. He says this, and Paul says that, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. So he says to the leaders, hey leaders, you know how I've lived with you. You've witnessed this. You've seen this. From the very first day I came into your province of Asia, Paul says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. In other words, I served the Lord with such humility and hard work, with tears. And it says, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I have declared both Jews and Greeks, that's Gentiles, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the gospel. Then he says this, and now I commit to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among none those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and my needs and the needs of my companions. He's saying, I've worked hard and I didn't really ask for any assistance. I didn't ask for your gold or silver. I've worked hard with these hands. And look how he concludes this. He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. So he quotes Jesus, right? And he says this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I just want to say this to all the next gen leaders. I want you to know that the Lord sees your tears. He sees your hard work. And I want you to know the words of our Lord, our Savior. Oh, it is blessed. Yeah. It is blessed to give. It is blessed to do His work. And God bless you. God bless you with all your hard work. So can I invite, if you are serving SK, that's Sun Life Kids, I know that some are in the SK block, but if you're in the auditorium and you are serving Sun Life Kids, can you be upstanding right now? If you are serving, yes, thank you. The wonderful people serving, and I call them the Orange Army, but because they're inside here, they're not wearing their orange uniform. We love you. We thank you. And you saw all those beautiful children here, those graduating and those coming through. Praise God that we have a community of a lot of children. Hallelujah. Some 80 of them. God is good. Can I also invite all those leaders serving our youth, SY, Sun Life Youth. If you are here, can you please be upstanding? all the, thank you. And now all those serving young adults, all the young adults leaders, can you please be upstanding? Yes. You see? See, they're all scattered around here. So I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing, a prayer of just that they remember the words of God. Oh, God sees your hard work. God sees your tears. May you continue to serve Him with humility. Humility. And know that it's blessed to what? To give. And you are giving. Hallelujah. Praise God for you. And for those that are near these leaders, can you just pray a prayer? And you might be on the other side of the auditorium. That's right. You can still pray for them. Whoever you see, can you pray? You might not know their name. God knows their name. Can you pray for them? And I'm going to pray for them as well. Can we do that right now? Let's lift all these next gen leaders right now. Let's pray. You pray, I pray as well. Let's pray right now. Father God, I pray for all these next gen leaders. Lord, I am so grateful that you have raised up an army of leaders with a passion for the next gen, serving kids and youth and young adults. Lord, we are only growing as a church because of these beautiful leaders investing into the next generation. So I pray for every single one of them, Lord, as they serve you, God. Oh Lord, I pray for more of humility, more of your grace to rest upon them. And Lord, as they serve you, no matter how hard it is, may they see the reward, God, that you have called them, you have placed them in this season to serve the next gen, Lord. And may they know it is a blessing, oh Lord, to give as they give their time, as they give their talents, Lord, as they give their treasures to do your work here. So every leader, every of these amazing people here and those in the kids block, Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing upon them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you fill them over and over again, that every time they serve, God, they serve not from their own strength or power, but the power of God's Spirit rests upon them. And so I pray, God, as they serve in this season to come, they see joy and they see purpose and meaning as they raise up these beautiful young followers of Jesus Christ who will be the future leaders of this world here, Lord. So, Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing upon every single one. All those who are maybe finding it tough, those who are maybe hearing voice of that is not from you. You know, those who may be feeling a bit anxious or insecure, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just speak to them and let them know that you are so proud of them, that you will empower them, that you will strengthen them to do the work here, God. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that in the next season, the season to come, it will be even greater than the past season. I also pray right now for all those who've graduated, God, as they move into the next stage, Lord, that they'll be nurtured, they'll be discipled by their leaders. And I pray their leaders will really take care of them, those moving into youth or those moving up into a flame senior, junior, or a little sparks. I just pray that all these beautiful leaders here will just take care of them, disciple them in the ways of the Lord, and that we do not lose anyone, God, that all our children will grow in the ways of the Lord, and not only them, but their friends, and they'll invite people to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, would you bless all these amazing next gen leaders. Empower them. Keep them close to you, Lord. May they be humble in the way they serve you, God. Lord, would you bless them? We are grateful as a community that we have them. Thank you so much for them. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give them a round of applause. Hallelujah. 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 Have you been encouraged? Are you encouraged with the next gen? And I just pray that it doesn't end here. That if you see any next gen post-service, whether young or old, just as the Spirit of God leads, just pray for them, encourage them, believe in them. You know, I think that a healthy church is a church where the generation that's gone will really invest and champion the generation to come. I think a healthy church is a church where it's not about our generation. It's about the generation to come. I want to see this church here where the oldies, and I'm not including myself as part of the oldies. I still think I'm a next gen. You oldies out there, it's not about your generation. It's about the generation to come. Invest in them, encourage them. But then the young generation, the next gen, our generation, we tap onto the wisdom of the older generation. We don't look down upon them and say, oh, you're too old. You ain't Slay. You ain't Ohio. Whatever you guys have been saying. I've already got that all wrong. I've already butchered that. But we look to them, we say, how can we learn from you? Your wisdom, we want to tap. And the old generation, we tap into the enthusiasm and the passion of the next gen. And together we grow for the glory of God. Amen? Why don't we be upstanding? Why don't we worship the Lord right now? And as we worship the Lord, we're going to do something slightly different. We're going to do something slightly different.